Wow, that's really all I can say about that. Praise God. You know, I hope that that's the heart for every single one of us here today, is that we see God as the most important thing of our lives. And I've said it many times, and I try not to say it too much because I don't want to become cliche, but if Jesus, if Almighty God isn't the reason that you want heaven, then you're missing out. He really is. This morning, the message is titled, Our Will Versus God's Will. And I think it's an important message this morning, as all the messages from the Word of God are, but this is one that I think really has an opportunity to touch our lives, to really be a blessing to us. We all have desires, every one of us. We all have decisions that we have to make. We all have things that come up in life, and we're not really sure what the right decision is. And often those decisions, they don't just impact us. They impact those in our circle and those in our lives that we do life with, our families, our friends. And it's so important that we make good decisions. And when I say good, I don't mean good in the eyes of man or just those that are blessings to us and our families, but good in the eyes of God. What would God have us to do in these things? Because often what man says is a good decision, what man says is a good outcome, is very different from what God says is good and the reasons that we make the decisions that we make. Now, maybe you're struggling today. Maybe there's something on your heart, on your mind that you've been thinking about. Maybe you've got a financial decision coming up that you've got to make or that you're praying about making right now. And I pray that you are praying about these decisions. Maybe it's a decision you've got to make with a relationship that you're in. Maybe there's a decision that you've got to make that's going to affect your family. Maybe there's a new job. Maybe it's a ministry decision you've got to make. Now, the thing that makes decisions difficult, though, and I think we can all relate to this, is knowing God's will when we've got to make those decisions. I like to think that we all want to do God's will, right? We all want to make sure that the decisions that we make, the things that we do, are in accordance with the will of God for our lives, that it's what He would have us to do. What makes that so difficult is knowing what's His will and what's our will. That is what makes it very difficult. The reason that it makes this difficult, the reason that's so difficult to know, folks, is because of this flesh that we're in. This flesh that we're in, it experiences things that can cloud our view of God's will when we make decisions. You see, we have fear, and that can skew the decision that we make. We have a heart that can be broken. We feel pain. That can skew our view of God's will. We have love for people and love for things, desires, things that we want, not only for ourselves, but for others. And often our desires can skew God's will for our lives. And see, often we are very easily confused between what is God's will and what is my will. It's difficult to tell them apart. And often we like to take our will and we try to transpose it as if it is God's will. And we say, oh, this is what He would want for me. Why? Justification. We try to justify the things that we do and that we say and that we want. That's the premise of our message this morning. But before we really get into the meat of the message, please join me as we pray. Father God, I'm still, Lord, thinking, reflecting on the words of that song that Stacy sang, Lord. I pray that we all are. Lord, I pray that all of us have a heart, Lord, that is soft. Lord, soft not only to You, Lord, that desires You, but also, Lord, that's soft to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and, Lord, soft to the people of the world, Lord. Father, I pray that Lord, You'd use us today, Lord, and every day that You'd be glorified. Father, we thank You for the cross. We thank You for Christ. We thank You for the blood, Father, that was shed on our behalf. Father, I pray that You'd help me this morning, Lord, to speak clearly, to teach clearly the word that You've given unto me. Father, I pray that You'd use me in a powerful way, Lord, that You'd give me strength to be the pastor and the man and the husband and the father that You've called me to be. Lord, I pray that You'd be with the men and the women of this church, that You help them, Lord, and strengthen them to be who You've called them to be. Father, most of all this morning, Lord, I'm asking that You would help us to Father, follow Your will in our lives. Lord, to be able to be wise according to Your word, to see it as the true word of the true God, Lord, and to use Your word to discern your will for our lives. Lord, help us not to be confused. Lord, help our vision not to be clouded. Lord, help us to take ourselves out of this and to say, what would God have me to do? Father, we pray for our church families this morning. Father, we also pray, Lord, that Lord, you'd be well pleased with our lives. Lord, we pray for those on the prayer list, those names that came forward this morning. Lord, you know intimately what's happening there. Father, we pray for them. Also, Lord, I didn't mention this morning, but the prayer request that Keith brought forward there with Teresa and her family, Lord, pray that you'd be there in that situation. Father, in all things, we pray that Lord, you'd be with us this morning, Lord, and that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, when it comes to making decisions, if we're going to make decisions that are the right decisions, that are God's decisions, then there are some checks and balances, so to speak, that we can use kind of as a guide to say, okay, is what I'm about to do God's will or my will? Now, it's going to be difficult to know. There's no way that we can always know for sure what is God's will, but there is definitely some ways we can know what is not God's will. That you can be certain of. And how can you be certain of that? By knowing who God is and what he would and wouldn't have us to do. Let's talk about some of these things. The first step in knowing the will of God when it comes to making decisions in our lives, not only that impact us, but impact others and impact our relationships, is first and foremost to seek wise counsel. And when I say wise counsel, let me add a caveat. Wise Christian counsel. Wise counsel in accordance with the Word of God, in accordance with the will of God. There are a lot of men and women, people in the world, who profess themselves to be wise. They've got degrees, they've got experience, they're counselors and so forth. That's fine. And I'm not saying that they're fools, not at all. What I'm saying is there is a huge difference in the counsel and the wisdom of man and the counsel and the wisdom of Almighty God. What we want to make sure that we do is we say, God, what do you say is wise in this situation? I would urge you, if you have a decision that's difficult to make, first of all, don't make it on your own. Go seek wisdom. Second, when you go to seek wisdom, right? When you go to seek wisdom, seek it from those who are of good Christian faith and character. And when you do, don't simply take it just because of who they are, who they claim to be. Judge it by the Word of God. And if it is indeed the Word of God that they speak to you from, I urge you that you'd follow it, that you'd follow it, that you'd be able to set aside whatever you're feeling or thinking or going through and say, God, I trust that your way's right. I want to talk to you about, there's three things that goes with seeking wisdom from Christian counsel. The first thing is, I want you to be able to go, and what I need to do, what we all need to do, is this first and foremost, seek wise counsel from the one from whom wisdom comes, and that is Almighty God. So the first thing is to pray. We need to have a strong and powerful prayer life if we're to commune with God and ask His will. That's the most simple thing that I fear is often the thing we most often neglect to do. If you want to know what God wants in your life, here's a simple thought. Ask Him. Ask Him. And I would hope that we don't just go to Him and ask what He wants when we don't know what to do, but that we're continually doing this. Hopefully that's a practice of our life. But certainly when we've got big decisions to make, folks, you want to know what God wants? Ask Him. And there's something that goes along with that, which we're going to get into here in a little bit, because if you ask Him, it doesn't really matter unless you're ready to accept it. That's the big thing. We'll get to that here in a moment, though. But first and foremost, go to God. And I pray that when you do that, have the heart that Christ had in the garden when He said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Because remember, this flesh will confuse you. It will make you feel things. The heart will get in the way. But you've got to be able to follow the will of God. Our brother James says this in chapter 1, verse 5 of James. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We the redeemed, we've been granted a wonderful, wonderful gift. We have been invited to access to the throne of God, to the throne of mercy, to come to God. He tells us to come before Him and ask what we will of Him. Now, Solomon was a man who was blessed with wisdom. Why? Because he asked God for it. My question for you is, We being the redeemed who've been invited to come before the throne of God to ask him the things on our hearts, are you using that privilege? Are you coming to God and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do in this instance? Lord, help take me out of it and give me your will. That's the first thing. It's a marvelous honor. I wonder if you're using it, though. Am I using that? That privilege is given to us for a purpose. Use it. Use that. The second part of this. So the first thing, obviously, when it comes to wise Christian counsel is go to God and seek wisdom. In other words, you need to pray. Really pray. Not just pray that he'll give you the answer that you want, but that he'll give you his answer. The second thing is that we need to be able to consult with the Christian leaders that God has placed into our lives. That's the second thing. And I'm talking about pastors. I'm talking about deacons. I'm even talking about your teachers. Why? Because God has placed them into those places of authority. And we may not agree with everything that they say. We may not agree with everything that they do. But we have to acknowledge that the authority that they have, the positions that they hold, are not by their own making. They are by the will of God. If he wanted to remove them from that position, he would. We need to say, God, I honor you. I trust you. You've placed this person or these people in my lives. Father, I'm going to use them. Please, Father, use them to give me wise counsel. So the second thing is when we need counsel, when we need to make a decision, first of all, go to God. Secondly, go to the people that God has placed in our lives as spiritual leadership. Talk to them about it. Let them know what's going on. All right? Use the wisdom that they give you in accordance with the will of God. That's something we all need. I myself, even being the pastor here, I have men and women who have been a blessing in my life who are my spiritual leaders who I go to. I have pastors that have been pastors of mine for a long time, and I still reach out to them when there's something going on, when I don't know what to do. I say, hey, what do you think I should do with this? And I know I can trust them to give me wise Christian counsel. We need to reach out to these folks. That's why God's placed them in our lives. And I pray that you are one of these people for others. I pray that you're someone that people look at and say, they're a Christian leader. There's someone in my life that I can use for wisdom. So that's the second thing. First of all, go to God and pray about it. The second thing, go to the spiritual leadership he's put in our lives. Go to the spiritual leadership that he's given unto you. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. And so here it's speaking about, you know, falling under their leadership. But falling under their leadership, it also is talking about being willing to go to them and allowing them to be the leaders that they've been called to be. Not just obeying them, but also going to them and requesting that they give you that counsel, requesting that they be those leaders. It's more than just about obedience. It's about having a heart that acknowledges them as our leadership and to let them do that. He places them in our lives for a purpose. And I want you to see here, too, that often whenever we speak of spiritual leaders or leaders in the church, especially of a pastor, we use this term, and that term is shepherd. Shepherd. And I remember a conversation that I had with Miss Betty Day before I even came to the church when we were speaking on the phone. I can't remember what the question was, but I remember the response to it. She was asking about a situation, what I thought would be wise, and something about ministry and leadership. And I said to her what I'm going to share with you now. A shepherd, when there's an issue, they don't get behind the sheep and push them into the corral. A leader, a shepherd, walks, and the sheep hear his voice, and they come. In other words, it's a demonstration, it's an example of how they're supposed to follow that example and how they come to the shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd is the one that not only is supposed to feed them, as a pastor does with the word of God, as I'm attempting to do and praying that I'm able to do this morning and every morning, not just feeding them, but also they care for them. They desire to keep them within the corral, within the pen. And what does the pen or the corral represent? God's will. My job as a pastor, as a shepherd, isn't just to feed you with the word of God, but also to tend unto you and to keep you within the corral and within the will of God by my example and by the counsel that by God's wisdom I'm able to give. That is the goal of spiritual leadership. I pray that you acknowledge and use that. Now, last part of seeking wise Christian counsel is after you've gone to God and prayed, and after you've gone to the spiritual leadership, now go unto other strong Christians, whether they be in positions of leadership or not, and just speak with them about it. Those who are close to you and those who may not be real close to you. Anyone who you can, who you know and have a certainty that this is a strong Christian, go ask and see what they have to say. Mature Christians, hey, give me some more information here. All right, help me to figure this out in my mind. I want to give you a couple of verses here that tell us to do this, that speak unto the power of counselors. Well, often Proverbs is a collection of wisdom writings, many of which were written by Solomon, who I told you earlier is one of the wisest, if not the wisest man that ever lived, gifted of wisdom by God. Proverbs 11:14 says this, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." In the multitude of counselors. 15:22, folks, Proverbs 15 and 22 says this, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed." Notice again, the same theme. "But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Finally, all of this counsel, and this is really the key thing here when it comes to praying about God's will, when it comes to going to your Christian leadership, when it comes to going to other strong Christians. Listen to this verse. This is one of the most important parts. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For those of you that have your Bibles, I can hear pages turning. I'll give you just a second to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The verse says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Why do I say that's so important? I'll explain quickly as we move on. As I mentioned earlier, flesh gets in the way. It's not easy to always do what we know is God's will, because we have our own desires, our own heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't listen to your heart. It will try to take the reins out of God's hand. It will use pain. It will use offense. It will use your love. It will use your desires. But we have to say, "God, even though I can't see how this is the right decision, God, even though it doesn't make sense to me to do this, it's not how I feel about it." We have to be able to say, "God, I want to walk by faith. I want to be able to say, God, I trust in your word. I trust in those you have appointed over me. I trust in your will. Father, help me to walk in it, and not only by what makes sense to my own eyes, what I see here." That's one of the most important things, because knowing God's will is absolutely powerless to us if we're not willing to accept and to follow it. So as I told you, there's a wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Let me give you a quick example from a biblical story here. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we have the story of King Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, who reigned after David. You have David, then you have Solomon, and then his son Rehoboam. Now, at the end of Solomon's life, he turned away from the Lord. He did a lot of bad things. He was very harsh on the people. When Rehoboam came into power, there was another man by the name of Jeroboam who was very well thought of by the people and was kind of vying for power at that time. Rehoboam, he took the right step at first. He went to seek counsel. See, the people came unto him, and whenever he took power, and they said, "Hey, if you will be kind to us and soft and gentle unto us, more than your father was, for he was very harsh, then we will follow you and we will serve you, O king." Rehoboam, he started out wisely. He said, "Okay, in 3 days I will give you my response as to how I will lead and what you can expect from me as your king." And he went and he sought counsel. That was the right move. But listen to how where the mistake came, how he messed up. The first people he went to were the elders, right? Those who were older, wiser, who had been there through his father's reign, who had been around a while, and he said, "Okay, give me your wisdom." Their counsel was, "Be gentle with the people. Do as they've asked, and they'll serve you." Well, he took that counsel and he continued to go seek more counsel. Only the next time he went and he sought the counsel of his peers, those his age, very young people. And they said, nah, put them under your thumb. Let them know who the boss is. You tell them that if they thought your father was harsh, tell them that you're going to be more so. Well, he decided to listen to the counsel of his peers. Well, because of that, he ended up losing his kingdom. He was wise in seeking counsel, but he was foolish in the counsel that he listened to. Those who pronounced themselves to be wise were fools. Why? Because he didn't look at the will of God. He didn't go to the people he really should have went to. Now, the moral of the story is that not all counsel is wise counsel, okay? I want to draw that home here. And then we're going to move on to the next check mark, so to speak. So seeking wise counsel is number one. Make sure that you're seeking wise counsel, okay? The second thing is, I want you to be warned to beware the inclinations of the heart, okay? Beware the inclinations of the heart. I gave you the verse a minute ago from Jeremiah where I said that the heart is deceitful above all things. It's a liar and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I told you, don't trust your heart. Your heart will try to turn you against your brother. It will try to turn you against God. Your heart will try to turn you against ministry. It will try to turn you against your friends. It will even try to harm you because it will make you go after the desires of your heart, things of this world. You'll make bad financial decisions. You'll make bad relationship decisions. You'll make bad spiritual decisions if you listen to your heart. Don't do it. Listen to the will of God and to God's heart. Tim Conway, he's a Christian author, he said this, and I quote him, he says that we often tend to project our will onto the will of God. Now, what does that mean? When we want something, we try to justify. We try to say, oh, well, God can use this in my life. If I get this, then I can do this or that. Or if I make this decision, I'll be happier. Or if I just do this thing, or if I make this decision, it'll work out for the best for everybody. This and this and this will happen. And what we're really doing is we're taking our wisdom, which is really being guided by the desires of our heart, and we're trying to make it seem as if it's the right decision, as if it's what's best, as if this is what God would want for us, when really it's what we want or what we think is best. And we have to be careful of that because we do that a lot. As people, we do that an awful lot. And as I said, it's all the emotions, all the things that we feel that cause this to happen. But I want you to listen to this. Matthew 16:24 tells us this. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. Deny means to take all those feelings that may go into the decision-making process and say, God, I need to remove me from the equation. Why? So that we can actually hear clearly what God's will is when we pray and when we go to our leaders and when we go to get that counsel. We've got to remove ourselves. Otherwise, we're not going to get a clear message. And that is not a simple thing to do, but it is the wise thing to do. Matthew's trying to tell us that we need to surrender to the will of God. Now, and here's this is something that is difficult to understand. When we get right down to the bottom of it, to be truthful with you, I kind of think that we know what the will of God is in our lives and a lot of things. I really do. I think what makes it so difficult for us is acknowledging that we need to let go of our will and follow His. We know the things that are a benefit to us that have absolutely no bearing on what God's will would be. We know the things that we want so badly that really you don't see anything of what God's personality or desire in it. It's just something that we want. The difficult thing is making sure that we're not putting our will onto God's, transposing it. What we need to be able to do, and this is a prayer that I hope that we'll be able to make in our prayers, is to be able to be of a heart that says, God, whatever it is that you want for me, that's what I want. I want my will, Lord, to be what your will is. But quite often, when we're praying for God's will, deep down we're really saying, God, I really want you to make my will. I really want you to turn your will into my will. Because we want that thing. But we need our will to be shifted to match His, not His shifted to match ours. That's what we need to keep clear on. Jeremiah 29:11, well-known verse, very well-known verse. But listen to what it says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, God has a plan for our lives and he has a will for your life. But you've got to be able to trust that he knows better than you and I do. We've got to be able to. Otherwise, you're not going to follow it. Neither am I. Not unless we truly believe that. Last thing. And this is one of the most powerful and sure ways to make sure that we're not acting in our will. Now, it doesn't ensure that we are in God's will with a decision, but it will help to ensure that we're not in our will. We have to obey what we already know about God and his will. In other words, we have to take a look at the scriptures and say, is what I want, is what I'm thinking about doing, is the decision I'm about to make, consistent with what God tells me I'm to do, or do I not find any foundation for this? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, we've got to take what God has already told us to do and say, okay, is the decision I'm about to make, does it match with that, or is it outside of that? Is it in accordance with what he's told me, or is it against what he's told me? That's how you can know the perfect will of God, to submit and be obedient to the word. God's will for our lives has a purpose, folks. If you feel that something might be God's will, first thing I want you to do when you go to pray, well, I'll say first, I guess I should say last thing. The really last thing that you should do before you decide to make that decision is to ask yourself, if you think it's his will, why? Why would he want this for you? That's a powerful question. Because remember, God, yes, I'm convinced that God does want us to be happy. I think that's an important thing. But God is not concerned with us being happy so much as he is that we are being holy. Okay? He wants us to be holy. That's what really matters. And we have to ask ourselves, is this what he would have for me? Or is this what I would have for me? Ask these questions. Does it bring him glory? Does it give me an opportunity to bless somebody and in doing so glorify God? Does it give me an opportunity to be a leader with my family? Does it give me an opportunity to reconcile a relationship? Does it give me an opportunity to do what God would have me to do for the kingdom, or is it for me? That's what we've got to be able to do, and that requires a soft heart. That's what it requires, is a soft heart. So, in closing, let me say this. Discerning God's will is a very difficult thing for us to do, and it's something that we have to do very often. I hope that it's something that we're trying to do continually, is to discern God's will in any decision that we make. But that's not easy. As I said, step one is praying to God and asking his will. You have to be able to go before the throne. And to go before the throne, you have to be a child of the king. For that's who he's invited to come and make petitions unto him, right? He says, come unto me. We need to first have a relationship with the Father if we're going to go to the Father and ask him for wisdom, ask him for blessing. So the first thing we need to do is have a relationship. That means that we need to be washed of our sin and iniquity. We need to have that washed clean so we can be in the presence of Almighty God. Brother Keith spoke this morning about how Isaiah said that being in the presence of Almighty God, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. And he shuddered because he knew that he wasn't washed. The same is for us. We can't come before God if we're not washed. So here in a moment, the congregation is going to sing. And at that time, we're going to have an invitation. Where if you haven't been washed, if you don't have that relationship with Almighty God, where you can say, yes, I'm a child of the King, I'm living for Christ, I'm trying to obey and to be in his will continually, I know that when I die, I'll be one with the Father. If that's the desire of your heart, but you can't say that you have obtained it, then as the congregation sings, I invite you to come, and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that you've been redeemed.